2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Everybody, welcome back to week 13 of the DFS Army podcast. We've been doing this for a few weeks now. I have our founder of the DFS Army, Kevin, with us at Football Geek on Twitter. If you follow her at FF Football Geek, however you spell it, we'll have to spell it later. I'm Choppa Dong. I'm kind of the here. I took last week off. I was in Kansas City doing some family responsibilities with Thanksgiving and stuff, and you guys rolled on without me. It's like you and Hunter, who is leaving for the Bahamas tomorrow, sound like you and Hunter had a good old time, Kevin.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, it's always good to bounce ideas, and we had a pretty fun concept in the VIP portion, where we were kind of outside of talking about some player picks, we basically sat down and sort of hashed out what we thought was a good cash lineup for the week, or some good cash plays, or at the very least showed people a little bit about our process of kind of talking about the players and figuring stuff out. So I think everybody liked it, and we're going to do something similar today. We're actually bringing we're going to have you and Keith and myself all together for the VIP portion, and we'll do something a little similar, so that should be fun. But cool. First let's talk some Vegas Lions games.
Yeah, let's jump into that. For those of you that might be finding us for the first time, we are the DFS Army. We're a neat little group of people that don't take ourselves very seriously. We like to talk football. We like to put together lineups. We have some fundamentals on our website, dfsarmy.com, that we like to preach. And seems like it's working. We've had a lot of great success in the past few weeks inside the Army. A lot of members paying great compliments to the staff, and you're going to, obviously, if you're a VIP, you're going to get to know Keith a little bit better if you don't listen to the podcast and basketball. So do we need to talk Thursday night football, or since it's going, I don't think you need to tell everybody that Zeke's a good play, right?
No, I mean, my big thing for Thursday was to look at the lines, because the money's coming in on the Vikings to cover, and, you know, so just be careful using Dallas players in this one, although, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I've got the thing on in the background. Hope you can't hear it, but that way I can turn my head every once in a while and watch the score. But what's the first game you've got in Vegas Lions? Looks like Denver at Jacksonville, right?
Denver at Jacksonville. It's all about the defense in this game. So, I mean, you know, the first thing when you're just looking at this game is like, how on earth is Jacksonville going to score on the Broncos? The Broncos are really coming on strong defensively right now. I think they've gotten a couple players off of some injuries. Aqib Talib is back. One of the things about the Jaguars is Allen Robinson is pretty much the only game in town. Julius Thomas is out. It looks like Allen Hurns is going to play. So it's like Allen Robinson, even their running backs are hurt. It looks like Shoelace Robinson is going to play along with Yeldon. They both suck anyway. And so this is just a big fade. It's a Denver defense all in play, and then don't touch anyone. Allen Robinson has never been able to beat good coverage.
I would tell people in a game like Denver's on the road and favored, in a lot of cases that defense leads to lower ownership, but not today, not this time. This one's going to be pretty damn chalky.
It's going to be the chalk, because the Jaguars are the most generous team to opposing running backs, or to opposing defenses as well. I mean, unfortunately, for whatever reason, you know, Blake Bortles is an interception machine. And like I said, Allen Robinson has not shown. I'm benching that dude. I mean, in my season long, some of which I need wins to make the playoffs, I'm benching Allen Robinson for names like.
You need a win versus us this week. Not us, but we are tied.
I do. I need a win in our Mods League, in our Insiders League for the DFS Army as well. And I might have Allen Robinson on that team, but he's on the bench. And I think I'm starting names like Marquess Wilson over him. What was the other guy? Tyreek the Freak.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to mention him too.
Yeah, over him. So, I mean, this is not.
Hey, would you? Would you start a Quincy Enunwa over him? You're a Jets guy.
Yeah, I would, especially with Vontae Davis playing. So, I'm starting Quincy Enunwa over him in another league, actually. So what are you going to do? So I wouldn't touch that game. Move on. Don't touch it. Just use Denver defense and be happy. Denver might be starting a backup quarterback. They're not going to score a lot. Devontae Booker looks good, but I'm not playing him. So that's how I'd do it. Yeah.
If you can pay up to get Denver, I would formulate my game plan around trying to free up the money to get up to the 5K to get him on duel, because they're just in that good a spot.
No, it's hard not to use him.
So, all right, next game. Kansas City goes to Atlanta. Atlanta 3-point favorite, 49-point total. That's moved, wasn't it, over 50 earlier in the week? Or was it not?
I thought it was
50-something, 51.
No, I take these numbers down pretty early. Let's see where it's at today. Okay. Actually, I do like to keep that screen open so I can see where it's at now. And they usually don't change that much. But let me just take a look.
That's cool. I know this one's kind of an all-hands-on-deck game. Ryan's in a good spot. Julio is in a great spot if you can pay up to get him. I don't know that I'm going to be paying up for wide receivers.
I do want to touch on that. All right, the spread, the only difference in this game is it's now 4.5 points for Atlanta versus 3.5 when we did this. Here's the thing with this game. About this week in general, it's not this game specific. On DraftKings, yes, it's virtually impossible to put any studs. They have made it wildly difficult with their salary algorithm. Last couple of weeks, but this week, it's just brutal. FanDuel is like a whole different world, like sunshine and rainbows on FanDuel, because I can put teams together where I pair up Bell and Brown. I can go cheap with some running backs and get Evans, Julio, and super stud wide receivers all over the place, and Antonio Brown. It's crazy. So there's a lot of flexibility available this week on FanDuel. So I don't want to say like we can't afford someone, because we can on FanDuel, but DraftKings is problematic.
Okay, because I just build has been to pay up lately for running backs, and when I do that, there's no way I'm getting the high-end receivers. But there are guys down there, Forte, Jordan, Riddick, there's guys in some good spots that if you wanted to, you can reach for those high-end wide receivers. Absolutely.
There are. I mean, looking at FanDuel, it goes all the way down. Like you have LeGarrette Blunt at 6,600. Theo Riddick at 6,400. Yeah, that, and it's a great play. Rawls at 6,600. Tim Hightower, if Ingram sits. So I don't want to get into my player picks, but I'm just saying there are some good plays here. All right, so specific to this game. Yeah, love Hook. I really like the home team side as usual, much more. And that we're talking Matt Ryan to Julio Jones, very stackable. Tyreek Hill on the flip side, and Travis Kelce are guys I like on Kansas City here. Some people are on Ware. Ware has burned me too many times. I'm kind of off the Ware bandwagon a little bit. He just doesn't have big games, or he hasn't. He's had too many duds in a row lately for me. He's playable, very GPP only.
I agree, but I've got him marked down in a great DVP spot and as a workload. But I guess he lost some snap count to West, but I think that was largely because they were putting West in for pass protection. Trust him a little more there. I'd be interested to see how this pans out. I don't trust him enough for cash.
Yeah, it's not a cash play. I mean, there's so many good running backs in good spots. I didn't put him in my elite plays for a reason. I just don't I'm not aware. He's just a guy that's been burning me too often. So I'm kind of off the train. I
got him in season long, so I'm hoping for a big old week out of him.
Well, there you go. All right, who else in this one? Travis Kelce could be. Travis Kelce is up there this week on a tough week for tight ends, and a good matchup for him. This is one of those weeks where you know Kelce is going to be one of the higher owned guys. And the other name to talk about, although I don't get as excited about him in this sort of a situation, but you can't sleep on the explosiveness of Taylor Gabriel. That guy is the man.
The guy I was going to ask about. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. I've been calling him out. He was on my list last week, bolded, as one of the best punt plays of the slate. Obviously, it worked out really, really well. And I like him again here this week, though not as much, because Julio will not be sort of blanketed by Patrick Peterson this time. So it's not going to be one of those scenarios where you know, they're going to be forced to go elsewhere with the ball. Julio could have his big game, but Gabriel only needs one or two plays to break one. So it's very much a GPP play.
I'm with you. We can put that to bed, move on. We got Houston at Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by 6. Houston has turned into sort of a train wreck, it feels like. 4.5-point total. I know there is a little bit of goodness here, you know, your whole Adams, Jordy, Rogers for sure, but is there really that much to get that excited about outside of those big names?
Yeah. Just a note that the total on the game is 45.5 now. It came down a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Rogers is hot. Yeah, I get it, Houston. I mean, defensively, Houston is considered a difficult defensive matchup for the wide receiver position, which is fine. But the problem for me in this game is that I don't think Houston's going to be competitive. I like paying up for Rodgers more when I think the other team will keep up with them. And in this case, I don't think Houston has the firepower to keep up. Listen, you know, once again, DeAndre Hopkins, he's certainly a GPP. You know, his price has come down. You could play him. He has the potential, but they look like shit. And so you can't play Lamar Miller here. Green Bay does play good defense at home, as much as the stats might not show it. The one thing about Rodgers I will say, and I say this every single time we talk about them, is the Packers have scored one touchdown this season via the run. The Godfather gets a piece of all the action. So in a game where they're projected to score 25 points, that's 3 touchdowns and a field goal, I'm expecting Aaron Rodgers to throw for 3 touchdowns in this game. And that's enough to bring value. I mean, that's safe cash. That's just good. So, yeah, use Aaron Rodgers. Why not?
In your opinion, is there anything to this Mike McCarthy saying, I want to feed Starks more, I want to get the running game going more? I mean, because to me, I don't see it. All I see is Aaron Rodgers chucking it another 45 times.
No. You know what else he said? He was like, oh, Ty Montgomery needs to get a lot. He needs more looks. And Christine Michaels really picking up the system. Fuck that guy and his lies. All right? Fuck him and his lies. Don't listen to that shit.
And the horse he rode in on.
Yeah, he's a liar. Okay,
Who's dumber? Who's the dumber in the league? Who would score lower on the Wonderlic test? Christine Michael or Kobe Fleener?
Wow.
That's a stumper. I mean, it's going to come down to whichever one forgets to put his damn name on the test, because you get 2 points for that.
Those two guys should hang out with each other. They're a couple of dumbasses. Now, here is one thing of note, and somebody mentioned this to me on Twitter. Shout out to guy from Twitter.
I like how specific you are.
Yeah, some dude on Twitter said that, you know, a reminder of why Starks is playable, because Houston apparently is third worst in the league at defending pass-catching running backs. Now, that's a pretty obscure stat, and, you know, it doesn't always translate. Maybe didn't play against a lot of pass-catching, but, I mean, it is something of note. So if you need to play Starks, like, as a punt on DraftKings, I'm okay with it. But that could work. If his price is right, I'm not sure what his salary is.
Yeah, I don't give 2 shits. The big 3 that you had mentioned are all info, and the rest of them can really go play out in the parking lot somewhere. I don't really care.
I mean, I always love me some Davante Adams. I've been riding the Adams trade ever since
he's legit. Monday night game. He's legit. He got off to a slow start this season, but he's proved to be a good player.
Yeah, people are sleeping on him. He's been better than Jordy Nelson, and I just want to point out that
he's going to be around. He's going to be around for a few years. You're going to be drafting him season longs next year with pride.
Adams maybe will be a Adams is a second, third rounder next year. Yeah, and by the way, Jordy Nelson priced at $7,400 on FanDuel. Davante Adams, $6,800. And this is what I'm talking about options sub 7,000 options. Starting at 7,000, Larry Fitzgerald, Doug Baldwin, Mike Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Davante Adams. I mean, those are all studs that you were like, if you had those guys on your season long team, you'd be like, hell yeah, I'm going to win this week. So that's the kind of players I like. I love guys like that. You know, that's the difference between FanDuel and DraftKings this week. You can play good players.
To me, on FanDuel, that $6,000 to $7,000 window for wide receivers is the freaking sweet spot.
I mean,
you can always find guys in great. Now, I mean, it's not to say Antonio Brown sucks, but it's this, it puts so much more pressure on him to have a great game to hit value. Whereas if these guys have a great game, and they all can, because they're typically wide receiver ones on their team, they can blow the doors off of value and give you so much more spending cap space to get something else. That's good. You play three wide receivers in a balanced construction at 6,500 to 7 grand. One of them's going to go off. One of them might not, and one of them's going to about hit value. But if that one goes off, you hit the one goes off, you've got it, man. I mean, you're there.
Well, if you, especially if you pair it up with a couple of stud running backs that do what they're supposed
that's
to.
That's what you absolutely. That's what you
but
have
there's,
to.
There, I to hit the well, high floor. What I like to do each week is play different storylines, and one of them is always going to be, you know, like, so you have the storyline of where the stud running backs didn't work. And so I'll play a couple of cheaper guys and go with the stud wide receivers. Then I'll flip it, do the stud running backs, and use the less expensive wide receivers. You know, do different storylines like that so that whatever happens, whatever the ending story of the week is, then maybe you had some exposure to it. All right, on that side, on that game, though, I'm not touching anything to do with Houston. And I could see playing Green Bay defense as a sort of pivot off of – I mean, absolutely. If you're, a GPP pivots off of Denver, I guess this is one of them. There'll be a couple of other ones that I mentioned as we go.
6-point home favorite Osweiler sucks. He's throwing the ball. There's goodness there. It's just whether or not they do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not my top player. There. Yeah, they're not the defense that right. scores no. a lot every week, but, you know, right. why not? Defenses, that's, you never know.
There. Statistics are on their side. Next game, Philly at Cincinnati. Philly, 2.5-point favorite. Cincinnati, 41.5-point total. Puke, pass, I'm moving on. You can talk about who you want to, but I got nothing for this one.
I'm putting out one secondary play on this game. So 41-point total, a week where there's five games with 49 to 50-point totals. There's just no real reason to go here. The only one I'm considering, and not on FanDuel, where the pricing is easy, but on DraftKings where I need value, is I'm thinking about Jeremy Hill as a punt. And not because he's in, but he's at home. His team doesn't have a lot of wide receiving options, and they're using him in a running and passing down kind of role. So he's going to get a full 20, 25 touches. Jeremy Hill can break one. It's not like the Philly defense on the road. I mean, they're very, very good, quite honestly, but they're better versus the pass than the run. So it's worth a shot. So I will use some Jeremy Hill. Justin, it's contrarian. No one's going to be on him, and it's more of a GPP play.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah, here we go.
Moving on, this one has to be just – yep, I see it. Big caps, chalk alert. Detroit at New Orleans, lick your chops. New Orleans, 5-point favorite, 53-point total. At freaking home, you're not chasing points. Absolutely, to me, top play on the board for quarterbacks, as far as just pure ceiling and floor combo. Just fire them all up. I mean, I'm more leaning towards New Orleans than Detroit in this one, but damn, this game's got goodness everywhere.
It's got the appeal is all over the place. This is just a game you want to get a lot of exposure to. You want to be on both sides of it. And luckily, well, in some ways you can get on both sides of it. In some ways you can't. But there's no way of predicting it. And this is one of the hard things. There's no way of predicting on a week-to-week basis. And no one knows which of the New Orleans wide receivers is going to get fed that week. Maybe all of them get fed. Maybe it's the tight end. You never truly know. So you just need to make a few different possibilities. So the little tidbits of information that we know are Brandon Cooks was bitching about his role this week, and he has got a squeaky wheel narrative going. Mm-hmm. He is very good friends with Drew Brees. Drew Brees loves him. Why wouldn't they feed him this week after he bitched about it? I mean, usually these wide receivers get fed when they do that. So definitely like Cooks here. His price is depressed. They're coming off the zero. Everybody knows about the bitching thing, or at least I would think a lot of people do. So he's not going to be like low owned or anything, but I do like him in this spot. And then you have the usual suspects, Mike Thomas, you have Willie Snead, and it's usually been Mike Thomas, the highest scorer, Willie Snead, like the least likely, but any one of them can go off. Snead can have two touchdowns. He can score two touchdowns in this game. Tight ends have destroyed Detroit. Last week was the first time they played a game where a tight end didn't score against them. Is it going to be Colby Fleener? Is it going to be Hill? Is it going to be a TEBC scenario? I don't know. I like Fleener. And then
I would have said Hill, but that it's a deeper dart throw than any.
Yeah, I mean, Hill's playable too at 2,500.
Just because I don't think anybody's going to be looking at him, and he's the one that showed up last week, and you know.
Yeah, but you never know with these guys and why.
No, of course not.
You know, you never know why. The other thing –
I expect it. Go ahead.
There's one other storyline here on the Saints side of the ball. Ingram hasn't practiced. It's Thursday. He didn't practice Wednesday. He didn't practice Thursday. Mm-hmm. So what's up with Ingram? We don't know. He's got a toe. If he's out this week – or if he doesn't, let's say, practice tomorrow, if he looks like he's going to be out or a Supreme, even if he's active but hasn't practiced all week, Tim Hightower becomes the chalk salary saver of the week, bar none. All formats. So this is a situation I'm monitoring very closely. We got to see what happens with Hightower tomorrow. Not with Hightower, with Ingram tomorrow, with Ingram on Saturday. If this guy doesn't play, though, Hightower is the ultimate play. If he gets a full workload in this offense in this game, he's going to churn out points at a very cheap price. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on.
I like it. I like how everybody's going to be looking to Cook. So to be honest with you, if I'm stacking somebody, I'm stacking him with Thomas again.
Yeah.
I think Thomas is the number one down there. I think that he gets the red zone targets. And I think if everybody goes to Cooks, which is a very viable play, I think cheap exposure. Or not cheap, but I get exposure to the entire offense with – if Cooks goes off, I get it through Breeze.
I think you've got to do a little bit of both. All right, so for the Lions, obviously it's a great matchup. They're on the road. They're playing a non-existent – and the great thing about the Lions is they play up to the sort of caliber of the offense they're facing. That is the kind of team they've always been. Like they just tend to keep up. They make these crazy late comebacks. That's the definition of that team a little bit. So, I mean – obviously, it's hard to actually know with the Lions who to play. You know, you have Theo Riddick, who looks to be in a great spot here. I think we can agree he's in a good spot. He's not a touchdown scorer, unfortunately, or hasn't been, but he's still in a pretty good spot. I definitely like him better on DraftKings with the PPR scenario going on.
Dude can't run. He catches. He doesn't run.
Doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't run after. I don't know. You know, like, he just doesn't score touchdowns.
Without looking at it, I would bet you that TJ Yeldon has a higher yard per carry than Theo Riddick.
It's very possible. Yeah, well, he's definitely not a running up the middle guy. No. And they have some other scrub bring it. Yeah.
Every time I play him and I look at his stat line, I immediately just go down like Woodhead to the receiving yards. I don't give a crap. Any rushing yards are bonus. And every time I look at him, it's like, three rushes for minus 2 yards. I'm like, oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, no, you're getting a receiver out of him, but he'll get 11 targets and 8 receptions for 100 yards. Like, you know, he puts up good numbers, and if he squeaks in the touchdown, he puts it up a monster.
Absolutely.
Game.
For 5,800 on DraftKings, freaking go for it, man.
I mean, he's probably got more targets, more expected targets than any wide receiver at that salary. So, now, the interesting, obviously, the rest of the team, you have Golden Tate, Marvin Jones Jr., Eric Ebron, all playable. Marvin Jones Jr. hasn't done much. But this is another situation where he's one of the few really cheap players on DraftKings that really has potential to give you – to get 10 targets and give you 2 touchdowns if things go right. I'm not sure if he's good. I suspect that he's not very good. But I can't tell for sure, and he certainly still gets opportunities. And every once in a while, they just – key in on Tate, and he has these crazy games. So you just got to get exposure to all these guys, make a few different lineups. None of them are cash safe, or I wouldn't call any of them really cash safe per se, but I mean, this is a week where, especially on FanDuel, you're not going to, on DraftKings, you're not going to find a cash safe lineup. Like, you just can't fill it out with cash safe players. They didn't allow it, so you have to deal with it.
Here's how much things have changed on Walton's Mountain. Back in week one and week two, when everybody was all the Marvin, all the MJJ, MJJ, MJ, he's way too underpriced for his role in the offense. He's $200 cheaper right now than he was in week one.
Yeah, but now we've seen him suck for you know, we've had a couple of big weeks. and we've seen him suck and stuff. And it's not that he just sucked, like we like, but I did read something where he's had some tough matchups, a couple games against he's actually had like here. Let me bring up his numbers here because I should actually have this open.
The point I'm trying to make is how much difference the information that we have compiled in 13 weeks makes, because in week one, he shifted offenses, he shifted teams. Everybody's like, oh my God, this is just a spot. We didn't have anything to back it up. We didn't know, which is why you'll always hear me talk in weeks one through four. I mean, it can be a bit of a crapshoot in the NFL. Now that we've got some serious data under our belts, we've got to look at how these guys fit into their offenses. And now he's probably priced about right.
Or underpriced, maybe considering. I'm going to show you. He's played again. The last 7 weeks have been terrible for this guy, right? But let's take a quick. I just want to run through these matchups here, and then we'll start to get a sense of maybe he isn't so terrible. That's why I said I'm not sure if he's bad. We got Minnesota.
Good for another big game. I just don't know when.
Last four games, we got Minnesota. Can't pass on them. Jacksonville. Surprisingly good secondary.
Yep.
Still a terrible game. Minnesota, again, can't pass on them. Xavier Rhodes limits everyone. Houston, one of the top pass defenses in the league. Washington, Josh Norman. LA Rams, very good defense. Philadelphia, very good defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like there are, when you go back before that, it was big games that he put up against Green Bay, Tennessee. Yeah.
Green Bay, who can't defend anybody.
Green Bay can defend at home, but they weren't that good on the road that day. But didn't really defend
wide receivers, though.
He was also a broken play. You know, that was a little fluky. But the point is, he's had some tough matchups. This is not a tough matchup. So if he's ever going to have a bounce back spot, I mean, I thought it was going to be a couple of weeks ago at Jacksonville. But Jacksonville has been pretty good. So, I mean, it's a tough call.
Want to get the guy at a little lower ownership, now might be the time, although everybody knows about New Orleans.
I'm not sure he's going to be that low owned, but he won't be high owned. I mean, everybody's scared to play
that's the thing, is he won't be high owned. Who's going to be higher owned, him or Golden Tate?
It depends on the site. I think on DraftKings, Jones Jr. will be higher owned, and on FanDuel, Golden Tate would be higher owned, because they're about the same price on FanDuel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on DraftKings, it's a drastic difference in price.
I would have taken about the same as a perfectly acceptable answer after that question and thought about it. I shoot from the hip. Anyway, let's move on. Just fire that game up on both sides and out, right?
Yeah, that's just a play them all.
Stack them up. Let's move to San Francisco at Chicago. Chicago 2.5 points at home. San Francisco 43-point total. Another kind of a shitty spot, but again, just absolute destruction has happened to the San Francisco offense or defense with running backs. Has me looking squarely at Jordan Howard. I know that Marquez Wilson's okay. And I know, people are going to say Kaepernick, Hyde, all that stuff. Where are you headed? I'm squarely planted on Jordan Howard. I don't know if I'm going to get him over if I'm David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell in the same lineup. But, man, he's one of them I'm looking at. He's on my short list.
Well, I'm going to say this and this one thing. Every projection, our projections, the projections I'm looking at do like Howard very much. My problem with Howard is mainly that I think he's a little expensive. Like, he's not some sort of bargain play. I don't want to pay $1,000 more than LeGarrette Blount for Jordan Howard. So that's mainly my issue.
I didn't see you saying that.
Yeah, he's significantly more expensive than other potential plays he's playing on Chicago without a real quarterback, and so there's some problems there. He does still split touches a little bit with Langford and a couple other players. They don't give him a full workload, so no, I don't feel safe.
He is high on Blount.
I like him on FanDuel. I mean, how do you not like him? The Patriots are favored by 13. Like, they're gonna give him the ball late.
No, I agree. Because usually you don't trust Blount even in those situations too much.
I'm not a Blount lover on DraftKings. I will not use him on DraftKings.
But on FanDuel, he's a great play. I typically when the game flow dictates. But anyway,
I'm just checking the salary on FanDuel. Yeah, all right. So he's reasonably priced on DraftKings at 5,500. He's one of the few reasonably priced players on DraftKings. So I might use a little Blount even on DraftKings. But yeah, I mean, you gotta like, I like Blount when the Patriots are favorite big. I don't love him because Deion Lewis is there. Wait, we're not even talking about that game. We're talking about
I'm trying to get you back to Jordan Howard, but I was just surprised that you like Blount that much.
Not in love with Jordan Howard, although, like I said, our projections do love him. So keep that in mind. Like, projections are getting him, you know, 16 to 20 points, and I don't know how that happens, I guess San Francisco's really
bad. I think it's oh my God, dude. You've seen what those guys have done against the only one that couldn't. Who played them last week?
Whoever it was,
I can't remember who
did not
San Francisco
do well
last week. Dude shit the bed. He's the only one that has sucked against San Francisco. Everybody else destroyed him for 100 yards and a touchdown or worse. In some cases, 130, 140, and two touchdowns. That ran for like 4 weeks in a row. Shady got him, a whole bunch of – I was just like, anyone – you can't – almost can't go wrong. San Francisco comes to town, load up your running.
Last week, Ajayi didn't do a damn thing against those guys. And that is also having me think about, like, if Ajayi at home didn't do anything.
I'm going to call that the outlier. Based on the track record they've put up this year, I'm calling that the outlier.
I'm just not a believer in Jordan Howard that much. I have him on one of my season-long teams, and I'm not saying not to play him, but there are just – he's just in a weird spot where I'm probably going more expensive and grabbing studs, Jordan or McCoy or Bell or, of course, Johnson, or I'm going cheaper.
Or you're
cheaper.
Going down to Riddick and Blount.
He's in the danger zone. He's in that place where I'm not probably looking for running backs this week.
He's in the freaky GPP zone then where he's going to get forgotten.
He will get forgotten. There's no doubt about that.
So where else do you like to go?
I've been looking at Marquess Wilson a bit. Carlos Hyde is one of my favorite plays. The Chicago defense is pretty good, but Carlos Hyde gets a ton of work, and he's super cheap still. And that offense is designed to favor running backs. So, yeah, I like Carlos Hyde. Some people can play Colin Kaepernick. I can see playing him here too. I hate Colin Kaepernick very, very much.
Oh, I hate the dude with a passion, but the son of a bitch has a floor.
He's
got a rushing floor. He's been – God.
I mean, he does rush for 60 yards and a touchdown.
80 yards and a touchdown. That's like 14 freebie. Jeez.
Yeah, but he doesn't pass for almost anything. It's not like he gets you that 14, and then with the rest, he gets you 23 because he can't throw. You know, like, it's something to keep in mind, but he has been pretty good. But I hate Colin Kaepernick almost on principle. I think it's like, you know, I don't do the thing where I don't bet against my team or whatever anymore. I left that years ago, I think, in fantasy football and daily fantasy sports. You have to leave your fandom at the door or you're not serious. But I have a hard time leaving my distaste for Colin Kaepernick at the door. I just can't do it. So, you know. Take that for what you will. Feel free to play.
There you are.
I am playing him in some season-long leagues that had Blake Bortles at the helm. I can't play Blake Bortles, and so Colin Kaepernick will be stepping in.
Kaepernick or Tyrod Taylor?
Kaepernick. Taylor is like a look. He doesn't have any wide receivers.
Neither does Kaepernick.
Yeah, but Kaepernick runs more. I don't know. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor's probably.
To me, they're kind of the same.
Yeah, but Kaepernick's so much more douchey. Like, I like Tyrod Taylor. He's awesome.
Dude, it pisses me off every time he takes his helmet off. That fro goes. Poof.
I don't care about that. He's such a dick.
That's just me, Western ass. But anyway, cracks me up. I don't want to turn that one political. Anyway, next game.
All right, here we go.
We good with that? Next game, L.A. at New England. Ah, shit. 13-point favorite. I won't be surprised if late Sunday sharp action has this thing go to like 13.5, 14. But you got a 45-point total on.
Which it's already 13.5, by the way. It has moved.
God. What's New England's implied total? 29, 30 points out of that? That'd be the highest on the board.
55, 58, 24. 28 points. That's pretty high. It's a pretty high implied total.
For such a – these spreads, I like 6, 7, 8-point spreads just fine. When they start getting to 12, 13, 14 – now, if I'm a betting guy in Vegas, I'm probably going to go ahead and put some money on L.A. That's a hard spread to cover. But if I'm a DFS player, I'm squarely at Blount. But I don't trust Belichick, man.
Here's the deal. First of all, Patriots defense got to be in play here. anytime you're favored by 13 and a half points and you're facing a rookie quarterback.
I know, but here's where I say this is they're not one of my top plays, because when I look at Vegas, yes, boom, fire them up. They're at home. They're outdoors. They're 13-point favorites. Shit, statistics say. But I don't see New England doing very well with takeaways this year. I don't see their special teams doing much. And I know that Jeff Fisher is going to run the ball.
Picture the scenario. They won't run. And this is the thing. So the Patriots at this point, A, they've got a rookie quarterback facing them. By the end of the first half, the Patriots are up 28 to nothing.
I know. And Fisher still fucking runs it. He's a dick.
He won't. He's going to have to start throwing it, and that's when Goff is going to throw the interceptions. In the second half, they're going to have to start throwing. And what's going to happen is the rookie, the Patriots at that point, any team, when you're up by that much and the opposition, you know what they're going to do. They have to throw. They're not going to run it with Gurley down 28 to nothing. So they're gonna throw. And Goff is gonna drop back. He's gonna make mistakes. He's gonna throw it to the Patriots, and they're gonna get interceptions.
On paper, I agree with you. I agree with you so much. It hurt, but I watched two or three games last year with that dick, and I mean, my love is really starting to shine through here.
You're just cognitive bias from Rams fan.
It's really not, because I wasn't a Rams fan, but watching them go up to Lambeau, go down three scores, and just keep early, and then have him break a couple of big 60-yard scores off. I mean, I'm like, God, Fisher, throw the ball. You're supposed to be throwing the ball right now, but he just couldn't. Fisher's never a game plan in his life. I don't even think the dude has the smarts or the intelligence to change his game plan at halftime. Shit, that's not working. Look what they did last week to Cooks. Bracketed the hell out of the guy. They're getting torched by Thomas and the others, and they go in at halftime and go, well, it'll work in the second half. Let's go do more of the same.
Well,
hello, 50 points.
Screwed us over with our Cooks shares, but, you know,
it's aggravating.
Yeah.
But
more stuff from this game. No, you've got to play Patriots defense here, because that scenario, listen, I can't speak to the individual team, but that's what happens when a team gets down big. They have to throw a lot. And when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback who really isn't quite ready for prime time, this is a good spot. And Belichick is very confusing. Rookies do not play well against the Patriots.
I agree. He's gonna throw it to white jerseys that he never saw coming.
Got to have some exposure to Patriots defense. This is the primary punt or the primary pivot off of Denver this week. Couple of players to mention. So Gronk probably out. No, is out.
I've heard he's out for the year.
He's gone. Yeah, he's done. So he's getting back surgery. He's finished.
Back surgery, yeah.
Sucks. Finished for the season. The ambassador of awesome is no longer.
Yeah, there went my second round pick in my season long. But anyway.
So, you know, the names that come into play now are Martellus Bennett. That's the obvious one, right? You know, he's going to step into the Gronk role. Hey, he's going to get lots of things. Sure, but he's burned us all before.
Is he still dinged up? Is he still nicked up?
He's a little nicked up, but he's very much in play this week. You got to play him. The other guy is Malcolm Mitchell. And you might be saying, well, Malcolm Mitchell, I thought that was a play on Hogan being hurt. But Malcolm Mitchell is just a red zone play for me. He's Brady was looking for him in the red zone last week. And, you know, you're not really looking for Edelman as much in the red zone. So Malcolm Mitchell, and they like him. He played 50% of the snaps last week. I like this guy. He's cheap. They're going to throw to him a couple times. You know, he doesn't need to do much to bring value. And, you know, he's got two touchdown upside in a game where the Jets are just going to be the Patriots are just going to be playing toss and catch. You know, and obviously later in the game, here's what happens. And I talk about this all the time. The Rams are a losing team. They suck. They go down 28 to nothing midway through the third. At this point, the defense, they traveled east. Took a long flight. They're thinking about this long flight home. They know they lost. Their season is shit. And They're going to quit. And when they quit in the fourth quarter, that's when LeGarrette Blount breaks off he'd already got a touchdown. He's churned out 70 hard yards. And that's when he breaks free for the 35-yard second touchdown, you know, that turned his day from a really nice day into a studly, wow, LeGarrette Blount just got me as much points as somebody who paid all the way up for David Johnson. And so that kind of day. So That's a possibility. That's what we're looking for in GPPs. That's the kind of thing that wins us our contest. So Blunt has that level of potential. My only concern is when you have three running backs, will the Patriots actually use Deion Lewis in like the up the middle role? I'm not sure how Deion Lewis is really used yet because the roles aren't super clear. So that's risky in cash, but definitely something I like a lot in GPPs.
If I remember last year, they used him both they ran with him, they rushed with him, both out up the middle. And of course, they threw to him a lot. Now, later in the game, when it was time to ground and pound, that's when they brought Blunt in. And so there were people, we got in a debate in Slack last year about running Lewis and Blunt in the same lineup because you cover both ends of a blowout game.
It was Lewis early. Yeah, I remember some of those games, Lewis early.
It was a real interesting discussion that at first I thought that correlates like shit, but it worked a couple of times. So, you know.
And Deion Lewis is not Jordan White. He's not Shane Vereen. They use him a little bit more as a running back than they do some of those other guys, for sure.
Right. It's like Lewis gets you there and then Blunt pounds at home.
Yeah.
When he's healthy and when he's been worked back into the game, we don't know even if he's going to be worked in a full workload. They've still got James White doing it. Who the frick knows? It's Belichick.
Yeah. But again, Blunt, just figure the fourth quarter is enough. Blunt only, fourth quarter work is enough, and he'll get some carries early on. It's not a good matchup for Blunt in that the Rams have a good defensive line or whatever, but I do think he'll do well later in the game when that team is ready to quit.
I think the game plan is Brady is a little bit nicked up too, and it's going to be quick passing. It's going to be get the ball out of his hands quick. It's going to be run right at the pass rushers to kick them back onto their heels so that he doesn't get beat up because Brady's their franchise. So that part's interesting. To me, I think there's a little bit of kind of like game within the game theory there, but I also think that Belichick hates Fisher and is more than willing to run the score up on his ass.
No question. We got a real crappy one next.
Yeah, that's why we spend so much time on some of the good ones. Miami at Baltimore, 3.5-point favorite, Miami 4.5. Next game.
I mean, both of these teams are top defensive teams, including Miami. Baltimore defense is usable. I would not touch anything about this game. It's low total. It's ugly. Neither team can throw. And no.
Nope.
Yeah.
Next game. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Why don't we take a quick break here for, I don't know, a few seconds and get people more information on joining the DFS Army. If you like Kevin's banter and mine back and forth and you like some of the podcasts that you've been hearing, let us fire you round of information as far as how to get more involved and get access to these coaches that talk like Kevin does, that, you know, Kevin's teaching me as much as he's teaching you guys when we talk pods. So let's take a little break. Let's get you a little bit of information, do some housekeeping and pay some bills. And then we will come right back on the other side of it. We'll pick it up with the 4 o'clock games.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on dfsarmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right. Since the housekeeping is done, we're back to part two or the second half of this one. This is where we insert LeGarrette Blount and pound this baby home. Let's do the 4 o'clock games. We'll start off with Buffalo at Oakland. Kind of an intriguing game. Oakland's a 3-point favorite, and 49.5-point total suggests some fantasy goodness. Kevin, you're the founder of the DFS Army. Your words are what I hang on. Why don't you tell me what you're looking for here?
All right. So I think actually for some reason I'm really confused about the spread here. I would think that Oakland would be favored by more, considering Buffalo has no wide receivers and are traveling west. And let me just take a look and see the latest. Nope, same 3-point spread, so that has not changed. This is going to be a little bit under the radar. For a high-scoring game, I don't think as many people are going to be on this one as what you think. I want to start with the stats. You know, the Raiders, meh, defensively, 24th and 28th. They've been playing a little better recently. Some of these new, you know, they've been playing a little better recently defensively, especially at home, but they're okay. They're actually bad. All right, the Bills, kind of similar. 15th and 19th pass and rush, so nothing special. So that you know, that's their starting point. Neither of these teams are special defensively. Derek Carr, who I often refer to as David Carr on the column, just because when you write 6,000 words in a day or two, that happens. I'm seeing here. But
well, it's just a thing now.
Yeah, it's now. Well, at this point, I'm calling him. Yeah, let's call it a thing, right? Yeah, I did it on purpose. Sure. Mm-hmm. So.
Nobody Derek has Carr, to know.
Yes, I did it on purpose.
Nobody.
Derek Carr is like the MVP candidate. Last week, everybody got burned with Amari Cooper. No one's going to want to touch him this week. You know, so now he becomes a little bit sketchier or more of a GPP-only scenario. But, you know, it's Carr, it's Cooper, it's Crabtree. Somebody's doing well in this game. Somebody's getting some points. I mean, they got a lot of points on the board. Even Latavius Murray is usable. So I like the idea of little stacks, maybe Derek Carr. And last week I ran out, it was Carr, Cooper, and Seth Roberts. Well, Seth Roberts worked. Carr was okay. Cooper didn't work. Wish I had done it with Crabtree and Seth Roberts. But you know, a couple of these guys are gonna. A couple of these guys, you never know. And usually they do go back and forth on the Raiders. So I would assume this is a Cooper game since Crabtree did okay last week. Crabtree's not like putting up big yardage totals. He's just getting some possession. He's very touchdown dependent. Whereas Cooper can put up the big yardage totals. But I mean, again, the addition of Seth. Roberts in there.
Roberts.
Yeah, the addition of him really kind of dampens things a little bit because now you have three guys kind of competing. You know, Seth Roberts obviously is number three, but I do like – I would go back to Carr and Cooper again in this game. On the flip side, there isn't a whole lot to like on the Bills. I mean, Sammy Watkins got the foot issue. He's sitting out practices. The foot's getting sore. I don't trust him for a second. There are no other wide receivers on that team. So, you know, it's all about Shady McCoy. And it's not that hard to for an opposing defense to figure out. We need to just stop the run and we'll be fine in this game. So it's a very, very sketchy situation as far as that goes. I wouldn't be super excited about, you know, any of the wide receivers or, you know, the quarterback for the Bills in this game. Tyrod Taylor, who's he throwing to? I mean, he'll do some damage with his legs. But no, I think my favorite place here, you know, David Carr, Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray, yeah, I'm okay with that. LeSean McCoy, and then Crabtree, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. The only thing I would say is Shady McCoy does have a DVP matchup. I mean, Oakland's pretty bottom of the league. I don't know that it's going to make a hell of a lot of difference. That's got to be where they think these points are coming from, though.
Yeah, I mean, here's my
I know what you're saying, argument. Stuff the box and stop him, but I mean.
And it's not just that. It's my classic, and I know Kevin always talks about the home teams. Yeah, I do talk about the home teams, and here's my thing. You know, if this is a home game and Shady McCoy is super stud priced like he is now and it's this matchup, yeah, I like it more. But on the road, I just don't like it as much. I don't like road matchups paying up for studs. And when there's anything that can get me off of it, I'm looking for any reason not to do it.
You're looking at two things then. You're looking at the road and you're looking at being underdogs.
Yeah, I see a team. The thing of this game is it's got such a high total. Like Vegas is begging us to play it. And I like to let Vegas take the wheel and drive. You know, I'll just be the passenger. But in this case,
you just got to say, Vegas, where are you going?
What are you doing, Vegas? I mean, like in this case, that's fine. But I have some concerns about a lack. If I knew Sammy Watkins was going to play a lot and there was some receiving threat for the Bills, I'd feel better about McCoy, but on the road in a game like this. But I just think I'm going to pay. If I'm going that high, I'm going to either take Gordon or I'm going to pay up for Bell or David Johnson. I don't think I'm going to wind up with very much Shady this week at all.
Speaking of Gordon, he's our next game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tampa Bay headed out west to San Diego. Diego's 4-point favorite at home, 47-point game total, and I think you're going to lead off with Gordon.
Love this game. I love that it's just a little bit under the radar, 47 points. Everybody's looking at the 50 and the 49 and a half this week. So you have this 47-pointer. And what's not to like? You have Phillip Rivers. He's good. He scores a lot. You have some question marks in the San Diego passing game. Tyrell has that shoulder issue.
If I saw, he didn't practice today either. He was limited, something.
I'm paying very close attention to that because we got to figure that situation out. I would love to play Tyrell. He's been great week after week after week.
Sure.
But if he can't extend his arms over his head, that's not good. So we need to figure this out. If he doesn't play, I mean, it's Dontrell Inman. Maybe Travis Benjamin as a sleeper.
I was going to ask, does that upgrade Inman or does it downgrade Rivers?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I need to know if – you know, there's some unknowns here. There's an unknown as far as, like, is Travis Benjamin healthy? Like, what's his deal? He played a couple – he didn't play much, got one or two targets last week. So we don't know if he's healthy or not, like, what his deal is. If it was a healthy Benjamin, you had Inman in there, you know, they roll out, start throwing some to Antonio Gates, you know, then Rivers should be fine. And Rivers usually is. He'll figure it out. I actually think Rivers will be fine. He'll throw it to Gordon and – 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they do. So Rivers will be fine. I'm just not sure who he's throwing to. I definitely like Melvin Gordon. You know, the Bucs looked great defensively last week at home against a Seattle team that I believe was missing their center. And I think that had a lot to do with some of those struggles. They look completely baffled at the offensive line in that game. It was weird. And so it was strange. And I thought their center was out and that might have affected it, but something happened with that old line. But realistically, the Bucs have not been statistically a great defense. They're 18th and 20th pass and run DVOA. Like, they're sub average in both categories. So there's no reason that, the Chargers at home shouldn't have their way with them. Now, on the flip side, I like the Bucs a lot because they only do a couple of different things. They throw it to Mike Evans, or they run it with, right now, it's Doug Martin. You know, they're facing a Chargers team, a little better versus the pass than the run. They're vulnerable, 17th overall to the rush. 9th overall against passing, okay. But no one can stop Mike Evans when he gets 18 targets.
No.
He tends to bring value no matter what. So I'm not saying that could never happen. This is a road game, but Evans has been good on the road. And so, yeah, I like the idea of game stacks around this game. Like, you can get Gordon, Martin, Evans, Rivers, and one of those wide receivers – all in a lineup together. Like, you could, that is doable. Now, it'd be weird to use opposing running backs. I don't think I've ever done that. But, you know, mix and match. Doug Martin's not a player I play a lot either, but in this matchup, I don't mind him here because there's no Chris Sims to take those passing down passes away from him. Like, as long as they leave him in for the passing work, I'm cool with Muscle Hamster. They got to leave him in. I mean, that's the thing. So that's what I'm trying to see if, like, Jaquizz or one of these other guys is healthy and coming back. And so I'm going to pay attention to reports. But if it looks like Doug Martin has no competition in that passing game work, then I'm going to probably roll out a couple shares of Doug Martin and see what happens.
Man, I just don't see a lot of upside out of him. I see it in Gordon. I don't see it.
Oh, no, Gordon Martin is the man. I mean, Martin's just cheaper.
Telling you, I love Mike Evans this week. I think he's had a couple of outlier bad weeks, and I think I don't see anything in San Diego can beat him. If they're going to keep this thing close out there, I think they're just going to – Winston is going to be chucking it. But I think the defense is in play too, San Diego's defense, just because Winston's prone to throwing picks. And if this game, you know, if Gordon controls with stuff, you know, and whatever, and Rivers doesn't have to throw to, and it kind of becomes one of those games, and then Winston has to start chucking it. He's had a pretty 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I think that San Diego's in line to maybe sneak. They're a good little GPP defense, in my opinion, because nobody thinks about them ever. And they're pretty damn consistent.
I like that for GPP purposes. Definitely an under the radar play. There's no doubt about that.
So, all right, let's move to Washington at Arizona. Arizona on the road, or no, I'm sorry, Arizona's at home. Washington at Arizona. Arizona's 2.5 point favorite, and there's another 49.5 point total, unless it's moved. This game doesn't have me excited. Sell me on it, because other than David Johnson, I don't know.
I'm personally actually a little surprised again at the high line here in the close game. Arizona is number three overall defensively. They're nasty at home. Patrick Peterson. The only thing I could say in this one is because Washington doesn't really play with like a number one wide receiver type offense, that maybe if they put Peterson on, I don't know, DeSean Jackson and the other two guys shine. I don't know who they. I really don't know who Peterson's going to cover. If it's going to be one guy, it's very hard to predict. I'm not, you know, when I saw the number, I love it. 2.5 points, 49.5 point total. Everything looks great. But in reality, I mean, there are some players like, all right, so, I mean, I think I like Larry Fitzgerald in this spot. I'm not sure who else on Arizona, maybe Michael Floyd, but it's tough to trust any of those non-Larry Fitzgerald wide receivers. They all have all kinds of issues. And so you really can't trust any of them. You know, John Brown, Sheriff, he's got that sickle cell deal messing with his legs. He keeps coming out of games. You have Mike Floyd that's had these hammy issues all season. And then J.J. Nelson can't hold on to the ball. So you have this sort of trio of guys that no one can be trusted. David Johnson. Well, last week I was like, how the hell did Carson Palmer throw 45 times and Larry Fitzgerald only got 4 targets? Like, what happened last week? Then I went back and looked, and David Johnson, 11 targets. Jermaine Gresham, 10 targets. Jermaine freaking Gresham, a blocking tight end.
You want my GPP tight end punt play of the week?
Tell me it's Jermaine Gresham. Oh my Lord. Jermaine Gresham is not some new kid on the block. Like, this guy is in his 40s, I'm pretty sure. You know what I mean? Like, he's never been a pass catcher, so I think that was an anomaly, go for it.
I think it's stupid sneaky. And yeah, I think it's sneaky, dead stone minimum. I know you think it's just stupid.
It's stupid.
And I know a lot of people will. 4,500, though, and
I like the chance of taking the risk on Hill from the Saints better.
He scored last week. I know it was probably that's going to have people going, oh, it's an outlier. Who else is Carson throwing it to? He's not throwing it downfield anymore. Gresham has factored in the past 2 or 3 weeks if you look at his game.
By the way, Carson can throw down the field. I haven't seen anything about his game. I just think his wide receivers look like shit.
He's dirt ass. Gresham's dirt ass cheap, and the DVP on Washington of tight ends is a 23rd. It's bottom third. I don't lie. I'm paying up for Olsen and for Kelsey this week and Jimmy Graham. But if I had to punt one, I don't know why. I just would like to punt with Gresham just to be dumb, just to chuck a dollar.
Put that in a quarter, okay? But I'll move on. So
put it on the record in case he goes off.
Yeah, there we go. Some other things of note are with Jordan Reed out, Vernon Davis is stepping into the starting tight end role for the Redskins. Davis has looked really good. The first time Reed was out, they played him quite a bit. He looked pretty good. You know, he's getting you 15, 17 points. It is worth noting that Arizona is number one overall at stopping tight ends. They do have, what's his name? Who's the safety? Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, as their safety. And he is very good at covering tight ends. So, you know, do with that what you will. You know, Vernon Davis is cheap. I'd love to go all in on him, but I'm not going all in or even using a player very much that's facing the number one defense against tight ends as much as I'd like to. And as much as this line is begging us to play him. And that is my dilemma with this game. Tough defense. It's very, very difficult here to figure out where to go with this game. Do you want to use Fat Rob against Arizona On the road? I mean, probably not. So I think I'm going to, for the most part, this is not a game I'm going to target heavily.
I don't want to use them other than David Johnson and maybe Larry Fitz. Other than that, I'm off of all of them.
I'm kind of with you there. I'm not really liking, I don't have a comfort with any of these guys.
Outside of my sarcastic all-in call of Jermaine Gresham.
No, I'm not with you on that, but I'm not with that. I just want to make it clear that at most
I'm on Revis Island on that one.
They're not on Revis Island. You're on Patrick Peterson Island on that one. Revis Island.
He's not an all-in call for me. Don't get me wrong.
We're kidding around. I think
the deal. But anyway, we can move past this one. Although, Palmer relevant at all anymore?
Yes, but I'm not using him here.
Okay.
It's tough to want to use Palmer when this is like. You know, this is the David Johnson show now. David Johnson is doing otherworldly things. So Palmer doesn't need to do as much. Yeah, I mean, they never had a guy like David Johnson there. So, I mean, it's changed the scoring. You know, he's the opposite of the Godfathers. You know, give me Aaron Rodgers. Well, I get a piece of every touchdown. Not this guy who, I had to do the impression. I had to go,
another touchdown for the Godfather.
Yeah, thank you very much. I will be here all the week.
Tips to PayPal at Football Geek.
Yeah. Hit me at footballgeek@gmail.com. All right, so let's move on from that.
You'll
one.
You'll probably get a dollar.
You know, I actually once got Reddit gold from someone, and I think that's actually money. I'm not sure. They're like, I really enjoyed your article. Here's gold. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I think it's actual money that this guy gave me.
That's awesome.
I need about a 10,000 more of those to buy a Bitcoin.
No kidding. To buy a Bitcoin or a Mexican peso. New York Giants at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, 5.5-point favorites. Giants have – we got a total of 50 on this one too, which again further slides that San Diego game under the radar. 50-point total Pittsburgh at home, usually pretty viable. Who am I playing
all
outside
right,
of the
by the
three?
Way, interestingly, Pittsburgh -6 now. Total has gone down to 48.5. I'm not taking too much off of that, but it's just noteworthy.
Other than the big I'm in love with Le'Veon Bell, and I've seen some cheap receivers that I can use to get Bell and DJ in the same lineup, so I'm pretty stuck on that construction. I'm only building one lineup this week. Is there – other than the big three, I mean, Ben, Antonio,
Bell, Eli Rogers is punt-worthy here too. So, you know, Eli Rogers is punt-worthy. You need – lower cost players on DraftKings, and Eli Rogers is a guy I like. He's the starter. He's on this team. He plays all the time. Sammy Coates has a broken fingers. He cannot catch. He hasn't caught a ball in weeks. So, yeah, I like Eli Rogers too. But it's Ben to Brown, Le'Veon Bell all in. Love Le'Veon Bell. I love Le'Veon Bell every single week. I love the way he's used, and so he's always awesome.
Here's my hat tip to the Le'Veon Bell show. He's only scored 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's putting on crazy points. Wait until he has that game where he scores 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, you want to talk about a dude who's ready for some positive regression. I mean, he's going to score more than 2 touchdowns this year, and we're starting to run out of games. He's going to get, I think, to 6, 8 or something. And he's going to start doing it in bunches.
He is the man. All right, so let's talk about the game flow of this game. Obviously, we know who the names are, especially on Pittsburgh. The game flow. Can the Giants keep it competitive? That is the question. If they can, then this is going to be a scoring points bonanza. Now, the odds makers don't think they can keep it competitive because, quite frankly, Eli Manning sucks on the road.
I was going to say, not with cable Eli.
He sucks on the road. That is cable Eli, whatever you want to call him, right? That's the Eli that shows up on the road. He plays a little better at home. I'm not a huge fan, but he sucks on the road. So can they keep up with him? Maybe, because the Pittsburgh defense isn't good. But, Odell Beckham, if they're keeping up, it's going to be Odell, some of these guys. They don't have a running game, the Giants, so it's got to be through the air. Eli Manning hasn't thrown for more than 2 touchdowns all season. So, I mean, there's some challenges here. As far as keeping up. But if they can keep up or at least make it competitive, that will cause more scoring for Antonio Brown. If they can't keep up and it starts to become a blowout, that supposedly, although it didn't work last week when Roethlisberger was throwing bombs in the fourth quarter up 28-0, but I mean, that sucked. But I was so pissed on Thanksgiving. The amount of money that cost me, I was up so big. And every time Le'Veon Bell would touch the ball, it would be like another $500. It was crazy. And I'm like, yeah, the final drive, the money. We were in the money drive. And then it's like, 40-yard pass to Antonio Brown. Kevin's money cut in half. And it still doubled. Still an awesome day, Thanksgiving.
If it makes you feel any better, it was about the third or fourth time this year I've run Bell and Brown in the same lineup, and I was just eating it up.
Yeah, but how'd you get
Here's the way this happens, though, for me, because I play 50-50s and triple ups and stuff like that. There's only so high up a leaderboard I can climb where it does me any good. So if I'm 15th in a triple up or 5th in a triple up, I'm still getting $9.
You don't even care at that, but yeah, you're not caring at that. No, this was
Antonio scores his third touchdown. I was like, look at that. And then I saw you in Slack go, son of a bitch. I was like, okay, you can stop now because now you're pissing off my boys.
I was so pissed right there because – it's not that I didn't have shares of Brown. I did, but, you know, it was the Le'Veon Bell lineups that were pushing me to the winning positions potentially of GPPs, and then I just needed him to do that last drive. And, again, it was like the money was just going up so fast. I was like, oh, this is great. And, and everything lined up exactly how it was supposed to. Everything went exactly according to script, except for that one pass. And that's the thing about the NFL and about sports in general and fantasy sports. Like, it could be going exactly or terrible, like yesterday with the Westbrook thing where he's having a shitty game. You know, fourth quarter, 46 points. You're like, oh, damn you. Even 33 points going into the fourth at one point. You're like, you sank my lineup. And then all of a sudden it's an overtime game. The guy puts up 75 and it's ridiculous. And you win your GPP. And you know, it's crazy how sports works that way. And it's awesome. It's what I love about it. We're coming down to the wire. So on the flip side, Giants game, I'm not a big user of Odell Beckham on a regular basis, but he's definitely usable here. You can't really pair him in a lineup with Antonio Brown, though. So you can't. Impossible to stack it. But if you could figure out a way to stack it, it's certainly – like on FanDuel, I will find a way to set up a stack of this game where I'll have Brown, Odell, maybe even Le'Veon Bell. Screw it. I'll get them all in there and see if I can make it work. And throw – and at that point, you have to have Roethlisberger. And then see if I can make the whole thing work.
Go down to Blunt. You may have to play Kaepernick.
I may have to – no, I won't. But I might have to play some cheap – option at the third wide receiver spot and a couple of lower cost running backs to make it work. But I think I'll have one like that or two.
You could do it. You can make it work. You may have to play Jermaine Gresham.
I'm not playing Jermaine Gresham under any circumstance.
Just messing with you.
Not under any circumstance.
So, Sunday night game, Carolina at Seattle. Seattle, 6.5-point home favorite, 45-point total. Now, rumor has it the last three times these guys have met, they've scored a minimum of 48 points total. So this one, although the teams have changed their dynamics a little bit, most notably Carolina, this has a history of shooting out. Now, and we talk, I know you've talked before about how division rivals know each other so well that you never really know what you're going to get. It's usually a beat down, downtrodden game. These two teams have played each other a lot the past two or three years. They've played each other in the regular season once or twice, and they've met in the playoffs. It feels like every year. Does this become kind of a division rival situation to you where, you know, the coaches know each other, they know what they're going to try and do, or is this just – does that have any foundation at all?
I'm not jumping on board with that. But because I think with the division rivalry is really that second game in the same season that has an effect on fantasy scoring and whatnot. And since they haven't played this year, I'm not going to go there. And also – but, I mean, I think what's noteworthy here is – the Panthers just aren't playing. There's something off about this team. They're traveling to Seattle, killer environment. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust any of them in this game. First of all, Kelvin Benjamin, aside from just being terrible all year, has no ability to beat quality coverage. So that pretty much negates him here. the Seahawks have been getting healthier defensively. Earl Thomas is back. All their guys are basically playing. So this is not a good spot for the Carolina offense at all. And I think this is really a dangerous spot. If I had to use one guy, it'd probably be Ted Ginn, just because I don't think Kelvin will be usable. Obviously, Olsen is in play. He's always in play. But Olsen's been shit for a very long time. And so,
The one I would pick if I had to pick a Panther, though. I would have said Olsen. I'm surprised you said Ginn.
But he's been shit for so long that I mean, I don't want to pay up for him. So, I really don't want anything to do with the Panthers in this game. I like the Seahawks side of it. They're at home. They were embarrassed last week. They embarrassed me. I think we had people leave the DFS Army based on the freaking that game. I'm Russell Wilson was our highest projected quarterback of the week, and you know, it was
32 members got court-martialed or AWOL.
we had a few members go AWOL because Seattle played bad. I'm out of here.
I hate to laugh, but that's just so damn funny.
It does happen.
Russell Wilson, I'm out of here. See ya.
I'm leaving this. Fuck it. You know, because people lost money. I don't think it's anything other than people get – that was capitulation. Remember I talked about capitulation in the column a few weeks ago? Last week was a capitulation week. And for the weak links, they capitulated last week. They're like, I can't take DFS anymore. I quit. I'm sick of it. Because they played Baldwin and they played Russell Wilson and I played him. But I know, shit happens. Every once in a while, you have this game where it looks amazing, a shitty team, and then all of a sudden the Bucs turned into the next coming of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense. They looked amazing, and I was watching it. I was like, I can't believe the Bucs are just pressuring this guy every single play. And I really do think it had a lot to do with that center being out. I hope that center actually was out, so I even know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I think it had to have something to do with that, because the offensive line for the Seahawks just looks so bad. They look so out of – they had no ability to do anything. And the Bucs don't even have pass rushers, and they were all over them. So I don't know what the hell it was all about. But I say they're at home. This is a team fighting for their playoff life. They're going to bounce back and put up a good game.
Oh, I think you're going to see angry Pete Carroll in this one.
Angry Pete Carroll. This might be the first for Pete Carroll to show emotion.
I think this one is just – it's a bounce back by definition. They like you said, they got embarrassed. They got demoralized. And I think they're pissed.
I think so too. So, I mean, it's a bounce back spot. I think this is going to be a low ownership scenario. Russell Wilson is that cheap quarterback this week that you can use and afford other players. So I definitely like Wilson here. I like the Wilson-Baldwin stack. Jimmy Graham has been great at home for them. I'm watching his health, but he's been really good at home. So it's Wilson-Baldwin. I'm going back to the studs. Even Rawls. With no Luke Kuechly in there. Remember, the Panthers' defense is depleted. Luke Kuechly is out. There's a second player out on that deep. Man, I don't have my notes for the – I should have that notes thing that Hunter does. Did you see the notes that Hunter does on the injury thing?
That was beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's something – if people here are not in the Army, they need to know that that exists in there, because that was gold.
Yeah, we just have some awesome tools that we put together. I mean – every team, every significant injury, it's all put together there. So
I had people on Twitter say, so all you guys do are player picks and breakdowns. I'm like, no. So, pony up, jump in, see what we're all about, because I'm telling you, it's the best damn value on the internet. But anyway, second commercial out of the way. Let's keep rolling.
Boom. Get in the DFS Army and start making money.
It's insane.
Seattle at Carolina. So like I said, I like everything to do with Seattle. By the way, the line in this game, down to 44.5. Seattle now favored by 7. So things are moving in Seattle's direction. Seattle defense is in play. Another one
that is
a pivot off of that Denver sort of chalk play. Seattle defense, why not?
Another one that doesn't do a bunch of takeaways and stuff. They get hot late in the season. This is about the – I think I like them better than the Patriots, to be honest with you.
I love the Patriots. I think they're going to
I know
be great at home.
But I hope they are, because then it works for a lot of people. But I think I would go Seattle first.
Interesting.
It's just me. Yeah, I mean, I'm all over Denver. I'm just saying I'd go probably Seattle next. Maybe even Baltimore before the Patriots. I know that the Patriots are supposed to be it, but I just haven't seen them put up 8 or 9 points all fucking year, and it's driving me nuts.
If they played the Jets, didn't the Jets go to the Patriots and get there? I don't know if they have done that yet. Have the Jets played at the Patriots yet this year? No, not yet.
That's probably the only damn game Fitzpatrick didn't throw
for. No, that was at home. You know, remember, teams play well at home. They have heart at home. On the road, they quit. And they give up, and the defense. So we always want those. And that really is the thing about Denver. As much as I love them, man, I hate playing road defenses if I don't have to. But then again, I mean, the last couple weeks, you know, Giants massive points at Cleveland. Week before, I think Pittsburgh massive points at Cleveland. So the home away thing is not necessarily a must. It's a rule of thumb, but it's not a must rule. You know, there are times when it doesn't work. All right, so let's move on to the last game.
Yeah, it's fired up. This is the Monday night game. This is New York. New York Jets are at home. Indianapolis goes to New York. Indianapolis is a 1-point road favorite when you wrote this, and the total is 50, again at 49.5. I love this game as a hammer game. I think this game has a lot of potential in it.
Yeah, there's some goodness here. I mean, you know, what you have are two teams that are not good defensively at all. On the Colts side, they're terrible across the board. On the Jets side, they will stop the run. They will stop Frank Gore, forcing the Colts to pass. So that's what we know is going to happen. The nice thing is both teams are coming in pretty healthy as far as, you know, and no surprises. The only question mark, I guess it's not a nice thing. Well, actually, no, they're not super healthy. So a couple question marks. Andrew Luck, still in concussion protocol as of right now, but he's practicing in full. I expect he will play. Coming off a concussion, that there's no lingering effects from that, so it should not affect his play at all. T.Y. Hilton, a little sketchy with that back issue from last week. Like, he's practicing, but, I mean, is he one hit away from being knocked out of a game? I don't know. So T.Y. Hilton is definitely a sketchy play. Actually, there are some injury issues here. You know, let's Vontae Davis. You know, normally, if we knew a healthy Vontae Davis was playing, in a normal scenario, you think, all right, well, he's going to cover Brandon Marshall, and that will funnel extra targets over to Nunwa and some of these other guys. But there's two problems. Number one, Vontae Davis is not healthy. Even if he's playing, he's going to be, you know, sort of at some percent that's not over 80% probably. And the other part is Ryan Fitzpatrick a quarterback that's even capable of going away from quality coverage to his, like, he doesn't seem, never strikes me as the type that would really even notice that his wide receiver was well covered. He just throws it and hopes that the guy catches it. I mean, that's his MO. You know, that's why he's the Amish interception machine. I mean, that's what that dude does. He throws into good coverage and just prays. And
he's hard to watch this year.
Listen, I appreciate, as a Jets fan, oh, Des Bryant touchdown. As a Jets really? Fan, yeah, he just scored.
My kids changed the television in this room, put it on iCarly.
I don't blame them. This game was really, really low scoring, but Des just scored one.
Well, they were like, Dad, I need something on TV to go to sleep to. I'm like, leave this damn game on. This game sucks.
This'll put you to bed. What was I going to say here? Totally lost my thought.
You're talking about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick. Wait, I had a joke. Oh, yeah. Brandon Marshall, I, as a Jets fan, appreciate that he takes time off from his job on Inside the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
love him. To show up to the game on Sundays or Mondays.
I didn't know he was still doing that.
Yes, and play. I mean, that is really cool of him now that he's gotten another job. To continue to moonlight as an NFL player. That's cool.
How do you put up the Jets organization? How do you not go, look, Dick,
why do you think I got
focus
into
on what you're supposed to be doing?
Why do you think I got into fantasy football? As a Jets fan, you know, I wait all year for football season. And then by week 4, I'm like, ah, fuck this season. Hope for a draft pick. So, you know, at some point it's like, how much hoping for a draft pick am I going to do before I'm like, it ruins my whole year. So I'm like, hey, fantasy football is great because now I can watch all the games and love them. You know what I mean?
Number one, I thought you were going to – number one, you sound like a Cubs fan. Number two, I thought – well, 2 years ago, Cubs fan. Number two, I thought you were going to say, why do you think I got away from a little bit of FS this year and started doing podcasts?
That's right. Now I'm just doing podcasts because
I'm going to be Brandon Marshall, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to be like Brandon.
Screw my day job. Right. Screw my day job. I'm getting into the media, man.
You know what? It's like I'm not really – you know, this does take up my DFS time, damn it. Should be making lineups right now. You know, doing this stuff does help me, though, with my lineups. And you know, the research that goes into this, it does. Absolutely. It helps you with your game because you've looked up – all of the stats and everybody's targets and everybody's touches. And so that's a good thing. But jumping back to this game. So, you know, the Jets are going to force the Colts to throw a lot. T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief are the two players that catch passes for the Colts. And, you know, Moncrief has never really had a big game. Like Moncrief, everybody, he's very expensive for a guy who never has really broken 20 DraftKings points ever, or maybe once or twice in his career. And so he's really an interesting situation. There's always something with him. It's always an excuse, but you know, like it seems like he would do it, but he never seems to. And then T.Y. Hilton, this would be a perfect setup for a monster game from him. If we knew that he was healthy and didn't have those back issues, but we don't know. We do not know. We have to follow it closer. How is he doing in practice? But realistically, we're not going to know. So it's a risky play. It's not a, but I mean, if this guy was healthy, if T.Y. Hilton was healthy, you could see him getting 10, 11, 12 targets in this game, especially if the Jets make a game of it, which I think they will because they're at home. So it's going to be Jets making a game of it. Colts can't run, so they're going to be throwing like crazy. Somebody's going to be catching those passes. If T.Y. Hilton is in there, he'll be catching them. I feel like if T.Y. Hilton's not in there, that the Colts probably aren't going to win. Not that that matters, but you know they'll have a hard time winning if they don't have somebody to throw to because – Gore is not going to do anything in this one.
You mentioned that you wanted to get a piece of two of the three, whether it be Antonio Julio or Mike Evans, if you can, this week, along with one of the running backs. I think that if you go a big running back and then a cheap running back, like a Riddick or somebody else like that, and then you want two of those three wide receivers, I think you have to take Quentin Nunez on FanDuel.
You don't have to, but there are other cheap options there.
4,700, man.
Is he that cheap?
700.
Is he 4,700 on FanDuel?
4,700.
Yeah, that is pretty reasonable.
That's
and you put Nunez.
That's just ridiculous.
You put Nunez. He's like he's pretty cheap on DraftKings too this week.
I know he's a little up and down and a little inconsistent, but I'll bank on a big game out of it at 4,700 and allow me to upgrade from Larry Fitzgerald to Mike Evans.
I mean, that's a classic GPP play. If you know, Nunez has the 20-point potential. He has 100-yard, one touchdown in him.
Yeah,
it wouldn't shock anybody.
For me, my lineup started with Le'Veon and David Johnson, and I wanted to put Breeze in there. And for me to get Breeze in there with those two, I had to use a Nunez. I can't punt a running back because I like these two so much. I went down a little bit at defense, and Nunez was the first one. And then Ty Freak was in there, and then whatever. I was like, okay, I'm gold. I got this thing, and it's set up fairly well with a decent floor and a little bit of upside. But Nunez was definitely the wild card in that mix. But at 4,700, I was like, dude, I am okay with that.
What about Dwayne Allen at tight end?
I'm afraid that's still a freaking committee. That scares me. See, he did better last week I punted with Doyle on purpose because I was like, everybody's going to be on Dwayne Allen being he's back. I was like, so screw that. We don't know what the situation is. It's a committee. I'm going to bet the other way, and I'm going to go with Doyle. And I got screwed because Doyle didn't do shit. But
no, I mean, taking a risk with Doyle is crazy. I think it's got to be – he hasn't done anything since Allen's been back.
Lineup still cashed, baby. That's all I care about. So, I mean, and that's the whole nature of what we do. Like when you broke down at the very beginning of the Vegas Lions column, and I know we're about done here, but when you broke down the different type of player types and knowing who you are you a cash player? Are you a hybrid player? Are you a GPP type player? I think that's very, very good to explain to people. So if you haven't read it, go back and read it, because you have who you are and play to your strengths. And what I have said and what you and I have actually agreed upon most of the year when we were talking before the season started was – concept that you had when you came to me and said, oh my God, Chip, this is something. I've got something here. And I agree, because it's how I build my lineups too. I say I'm a cash player. I say I'm a chalk player, but I'm never completely 100% chalk. I'm always taking one or two goofy shots somewhere that I'm not afraid of. I'm afraid to take four or five shots in the same lineup. I'm not afraid to take one or two. And so for me, like a Noon was the play last week. Doyle was the play. I'm not afraid to take that shot if the rest of the lineup is loaded with chalk.
So yeah, I'm cool with that. That's
why I hit 50-50s and I hit triple ups. And then if it does really well and my punt pays off, bam, I'm binking 100 mans and, you know, down. So, but that's the only way I get there. That type of lineup construction is never going to win me a 5,000, 10,000 person GPP. It's not wild enough, not upside enough. And so I don't play them because it's just not my style.
Cool.
It's kind of what you say. Know your strengths. Anyway, I think we can wrap this one up unless you've got anything else on the Indianapolis and Jets game.
No, I think that's I think we've got that one covered. Oh, the other I guess the last point is Matt Forte. He is in play in this game.
Oh, damn right. I have him circled on my sheet too. He's a $6,900 FanDuel back. If you want to get down and get off of Riddick or something like that, I think Forte's in a great spot.
Forte has done well in games where the Jets have won or been competitive in. They don't throw for as many touchdowns. They're going to try to run it for they're going to try to run those touchdowns in. Forte is definitely in play this week. He's a good play.
He's got 30-point upside too. I mean, he might not hit it, but he's done it twice this year.
Yeah, he's at home facing the worst run defense in the league. You can have worse spots for a Matt Forte. As long as the Jets fall behind, they're going – and again, I like their chances not to, considering –
T.Y. and whatever else.
The T.Y. situation that, I think Forte is definitely in play, and he's a guy I like a lot this week. I don't know how much I'm going to own him just because as a Jets fan, I don't know. But I'll have some for sure.
I've mentioned I'm going up for the big boys again, so I don't know how much I'll take him either. But like I said, I've got him starred for DVP, of course. I've got him circled as a player that I trust this week. He's got a little bit of receiving floor. He's got the upside. I don't know that he won't shit the bed, because like you said, if they fall behind, there you go. But if they play from ahead, that dude can score 30 or so, and he can be right up there with Le'Veon Bell for the week, you know, if things break his way. And if that happens at 6,900, now you're up with the receivers like the Mike Evans and whatnot that can push you right over the top.
That's the leg up. That's the leg up on everybody else. So that's what you need. That's the leg up.
You've got to hang your balls out there to do it, though. And, you know, Chapa Dong doesn't have the balls to do it most of the time, so you won't be seeing him on my lineup. But I certainly understand that he's a great play, and he should be in a lot of people's lineups that take more risk than I do. So
boom.
That would be awesome. Chapa Dong, a.k.a. Big Mother Pussy, signing off for the week.
But you can find him on Twitter at Chop Off Your Dong.
Chop off your
balls. Because I have no balls. Yes.
My wife had those on my wedding day. Anyway, I think that'll about do it. We'll come back. You said we're going to grab Keith for the VIP pod?
Yep, we're going to grab Keith for the VIP pod. So we got a special VIP pod coming up next. We're going to bring in all the big guns, and we're going to talk some DFS strategy.
Right on. Well, I'll have enjoyment holding my balls in my hands while you two bounce yours back and forth. So
there we go. All right, cool. Good luck, everybody, this week. Kick some ass. I will be in Slack with any last-minute stuff, and hopefully we'll all have another successful week of DFS action.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on dfsarmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.